Let's talk about the standards process.
Great example of standardization is the standardization of screw threads, nuts and bolts that you can go to the hardware store and buy. The screw thread angles are 60 degrees and squared off at the top. And what this means is you can take a nut and a bolt that's been machined in accordance with the standard, and when you pull the nut and bolt, the nut doesn't come flying off the bolt. It remains on there. So this standard, which was made by William Sellers in 1864, the machinists retooled their manufacturing machines to go make things in accordance with the standard. And now all of a sudden, I've got reliable physical composition. I can put two things together. And I've got reliable functional composition. When I put the two things together, they behave as I expect. And so standards become the glue, basically, that lets you combine the objects.
The nature of standards is pretty wide open in the general world, and it seems like there's a lot of things in synthetic biology that could be standardized, from the parameters of what a part can do to the language that you use to describe them.
Yeah, to the graphical notation used to depict circuits. The first standard in synthetic biology was put forward by Tom Knight, and it was a standard published around 2001 that supports reliable physical composition of pieces of DNA, basically stitching together DNA fragments. And it's Tom Knight's BioBrick standard version 1. So just as a side comment, what's very impressive and wonderfully surprising to me is how that one single standard has brought together entire communities, like the iGEM community, where all the students in iGEM get to make parts in accordance with this one dinky little physical composition standard. And as a result, all the parts they make from all over the world are interoperable with each other, meaning you can quickly combine them. And they might not work as you expect when you put them together, but at least you can readily put them together. So what other sorts of standards do we want? The lesson here is to not get caught up on any one standard, because there's too many, as you were pointing out, one could imagine. We want standards for measurement of proteins, of mRNA. We want standards for graphical depiction. And we want standards for reporting the evolutionary stability of our integrated systems. We want da 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 da. You know, we want standards for describing the IP regime in which the part is operating. And there are too many to work on. There's too many for any one person to work on. What comes from this is we need a process for setting technical standards. And that's one of the things that the BioBricks Foundation just started. So at the last workshop, which was the first workshop of the foundation, we established an open technical standard setting process, and we're just trying to get things working. So one of the people who came to speak with us was Dave Clark. His advice to us was just go get it done. He was the fellow who's known for saying, we believe in rough consensus and running code. And so we're modeling off of that and going to try and get it done. But so basically what that means practically is we have an open standard setting process, and so people are now starting to work on all sorts of different types of technical standards. And it's a tricky bootstrapping problem, and a lot of criticism around the field centers on the fact that, you know, oh, you'll never be able to make a standard part because the cells are always different or the environments are always different. The microprocessors that we use in our computers don't operate in any environment. You read the labels carefully. They have a particular temperature range they're rated for and humidity levels and so on. If you never start, you're never going to get there.